I want to welcome you again to Wylie Methodist Church. These last few months, we've been getting a lot of new families, a lot of new folks, and that's really exciting. Let me tell you, one of my greatest frustrations is, as we get bigger, it gets harder and harder for me to keep up with everybody's names. And I hate that. I hate that because I want to know every one of you, and I want to know every one of you on a personal level. And so that's my heart, and I believe that's the heart of our church. One of the ways that we get that started is, if you're new to our church, is to fill out one of these blue cards. Nobody's going to twist your arm or anything like that to make you do it, but it helps us to get this down, to know who you are. And there's a box on there you can check for our email, be on our email distribution list if you would like to do that. But anyway, it's just the heart of God. God is a God of relationship, and He's a covenantal God. And so He's calling us to be a covenantal and a relational people. And so that's our heart here, and hope that you will help us out by letting us know that you were here. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul has written this letter to the church that he founded in Corinth. Now, I'm going to preach a sermon series someday on Paul because it's what a great story Paul's story is. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was a devout Jew that felt like this Christian sect was bad, and he would try to get Christians either imprisoned or in some cases executed. He was not a nice guy to the Christians. And then he had an encounter with Jesus. Anybody else had an encounter with Jesus? And it changed everything for Paul. It changed everything. And in fact, the Christians were kind of leery for a while. When he would come and want to share the gospel, they would be like, wait a minute, isn't this that guy that's having people killed and thrown in prison and so forth? And so that's Paul's story. So we pick it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now I'm going to skip a few verses here. I'll let you know when I'm doing that. Verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Has anybody taken a stand on the gospel? By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached you to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, he's speaking of this encounter with Christ, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's referring back to the prophecies of the Old Testament, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Skipping to verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Did you know that? If Christ hasn't been raised, why are we even here this morning? It totally invalidates my entire life if Christ has not been raised. If He's not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Man, Paul's getting right to it, isn't he? But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Can anybody say amen to that? He's laying out the case. If Christ hasn't been raised, then this is where we are, church. But he comes back. He has indeed been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, speaking of Adam, The resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Verse 54. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Verse 57. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, in all honesty, we don't even need a sermon today, because you have spoken. Your word is alive and breathing, and it's transformative. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and to speak in power and authority, to convict us, to change us, to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. I am concluding the sermon series that we've been going over the last 4 weeks on the Apostles' Creed. Now, we normally say it a little earlier in the service during the prayer time, but I've saved it today. I want us to say it together because this is a summary. This is the last week. And as we say it, you know, so many times... thanks, Lee. The sermon is these things we believe. And we're speaking of the Apostles' Creed today as we're going to focus on forgiveness and a future. Now, kind of recapping, and all of those sermons are on the website, or we have CDs or DVDs if you've missed any and want to catch up. But the Apostles' Creed, I want you to notice those first two words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe. And that's repeated as we go through it. It's repeated again. I believe. And so it's this creed that binds our hearts together. We are reciting what unites us as God's people. I believe. Now, we spoke of how, and as we read through this today, we spoke of who God is: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that God is three persons and He's one God. And we won't fully comprehend that. We can't wrap our minds completely around that this side of heaven. But we know from Scripture, and we know from our own experience, that God is indeed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we talked about, the Creed talks about who God is, and then who we are. We are the church. We are His bride. We are made to be holy. And then today we move into what's the benefits of God and being God's people, being His bride, being His church. What's the benefits of that? What is accomplished through that? So let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And, you know, we say this a lot when we say this creed. We all, you know, it's really a beautiful thing that in our church that we come from so many different backgrounds. Some of you were raised in the United Methodist Church, and maybe even back when the United Methodist Church was just the Methodist Church. It's another story. But many of you come from Baptist or Lutheran or Roman Catholic, or there's many different places that we come from. Some of you were not raised in the church, but we come together as one body. And that word Catholic, we say this a lot, we're not proclaiming allegiance to the Roman Catholic Church. That's a separate thing. What we're saying, that word Catholic means universal. It's a very ancient historical word. When that creed was developed in the early centuries, there were not divisions in the church. In all honesty, I'm just kind of getting real with you this morning. I believe that divisions in the church are the result of our brokenness. You know, one of my classes that I took at Duke this summer was a history class, and And we started from the Jewish, Old Testament Jewish, and all the way through Christ and all the way through to modern times. And I tell you, there's a lot of brokenness in our history. Every time you see a denominational name stuck in front of the name church, it's a result of something in us that's broken. And that doesn't mean that there's not a rich heritage in all of these different things, that different denominations and in the Roman Catholic Church and so forth. But it just means that God didn't create us to be a whole bunch of churches. He created us to be the church, one, universal. So, you don't have to pay extra for that. That's a little mini sermon. So we're going to talk a little bit about those last three lines of the creed this morning: the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the resurrection of the body. I want to just kind of summarize that and say this: Jesus, as we just read, was the first fruits of the resurrection, and so we look at Jesus and his resurrected body. We can kind of see a snapshot of what we're saying here, the resurrection of the body, that there will be a physical resurrection, that it's not just going to be this spiritual, we're all just kind of floating around in heaven or whatever, that there will be a physical resurrection. I love it, and I've said this before, I love it, the fact that Jesus, they could see Jesus, they could touch the resurrected Jesus, they could see him, they could touch him, and he liked to eat. Don't you like that? Anybody besides me like that? My wife made some, and my daughter made a Boston cream cake this weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was good. I like to eat. Jesus, you know, he's waiting, the resurrected Jesus, he's waiting for his disciples to come in from fishing all night, and he's cooking breakfast. And don't you just love that? So there will be a physical resurrection of the body, but we're going to focus more on the other two lines. Three things we want to talk about this morning. As Christians, and remember that I believe, and I'm making it more for, I'm putting us all in there. As Christians, we believe that we are a broken people. Now, until you get that, I don't believe we can be in Christ. Until we understand our brokenness, our sinfulness, our need for repentance before a holy God. Until we get that, we can't have Christ. We don't have Christ. If we think that we got it all going on, and it's like everybody else is messed up, but I'm okay. No, we are a broken people. Listen to this. Paul, in the second verse here, he says, by this gospel you are saved. What does the word saved allude to? We need to be saved. We're broken. We're messed up. We need a Savior to be saved from death. Death is the ultimate enemy. If we look back at Genesis chapter 2, we see that God said, you know, enjoy yourself. Adam and Eve, enjoy yourself. I've created this wonderful paradise for you. Have the run of the place. Enjoy yourself. Just don't do this one thing. Just have the run of the place. Just don't do this one thing. What'd they do? The one thing. They couldn't help themselves. Because, see, God gave us a free will. And sooner or later, I don't know, Scripture doesn't tell us how long Adam and Eve enjoyed the fruit of the garden before they kind of went, I know he said, but that really looks good. God said that if you eat of this, if you rebel against my will, you will surely die. There will be this severing of God. There will be this brokenness that comes into us. And y'all have heard me talk before about my messed up shoulders. You know, what we tend to do, I messed up both of my shoulders playing football in high school, and I've struggled with it forever since then. Many surgeries and all of that, and they come out of socket. It's nasty. You don't want to see it, I promise. And what I've learned to do is function in my brokenness. Hello. Is this on? We function in our brokenness. I've learned when I put on a t-shirt, I got to kind of do one of these things here. I can't do put on a t-shirt like a normal person. We learn to function in our brokenness. That's not the heart of God for us. Brokenness is not the heart of God for us. Wholeness, abundant life is the heart of God for us. He doesn't want us to walk around broken. Scripture tells us in Romans, the wages of sin, the punishment for sin is death. He doesn't want death for us. That's why he sent Jesus. He doesn't want us to live in our brokenness and have death as a consequence. Proverbs 14:12. I love this passage because it's so truth. There is a way that seems right to a man, and women, you're not off the hook. It's speaking of mankind, people. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We think we got it. Don't, as long as we got our health and we got plenty of money and we got plenty of friends and everybody likes it and all that kind of stuff, as long as we got all of that, we think we got the world by the tail. I'll tell you, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We are a broken people. And if we don't, and that is a foundational piece of the faith of Christ. Other faiths will say we can actually become like God. We, through our goodness, as long as we do X, Y, and Z, as long as we do all of these things, then somehow we will measure up and we will actually, we're good to go. That's not the gospel. The gospel says we need to have a Savior, which moves us into number two. As Christians, we believe that we are a forgiven people. And you can also, another word there is redeemed. Jesus said he had come to heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came. He came to make us whole. Listen to Romans 6. Yes, the wages of sin is death. We are a broken people. But the second half of that verse says this. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is his gift to us. We haven't earned it. We can't be worthy of it. It is a free gift of God. It's called grace. It's called grace. So Paul in 1 Corinthians here is saying that the gospel is what saves us. And I've noted this in there. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins. Verse 3, that Christ died for our sins. Well, what does that mean? It means we're sinners. It means the wages of sin is death. That Christ died for our sins. Our punishment that we deserved is death. I'm a visual person. It's as if we're standing before this righteous judge. Did you know God's a righteous judge? I mean, don't you want a righteous judge? We want a righteous judge except for when it's us that's on the stand. We want it for everything else. It's like I'm just getting into some of the stuff we're seeing. The police officer that was executed with 15 shots from behind this week, do we want a righteous judge in that case? I mean, we want a righteous judge. That's wrong. We want a righteous judge. But it's as if we are standing and we were caught red-handed in this condition of sin, and the punishment is death. And God, the righteous judge, he's pulling up his arm with the gavel and he's starting to swing it down to pronounce the sentence of death. And as he swings down, Jesus catches his arm. And he says, wait, I know that Jeff is a sinner. And I know that he has death as his punishment. But I want to take his punishment for him. Put his punishment upon me. As Christians, we believe that we are forgiven people. That Christ died for our sins. That he was buried and that the grave couldn't hold him. Did you know that? The grave couldn't hold him. He was raised on the third day again, according to the Scriptures. Listen to the Ephesians, another one of Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2. But because of his great love, that's the motive. That's the motive, God's motive. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. If we could somehow attain this holiness, this righteousness that is required in God's eyes, if we could attain that in our own efforts, who receives the glory for that? We do. But the fact of the matter is, church, we can't. We're a broken people, redeemed by a loving Savior. It says that we are clothed. God's Word says we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's as if that we're just this broken vessel, and Jesus comes up to us and He takes off His cloak of righteousness, and He puts it over our shoulders. And He clothes us in His righteousness. So God sees us through the eyes of Christ. Is that good news, church? That's what Paul is saying. The good news, the gospel, is what saves us. And then finally, as Christians, we believe that we are people with a future. This isn't all there is. Does anybody else get tired sometimes? I mean, just tired of, you know, just the brokenness all around us. I mean, I'm going to be preaching on that the next several weeks. If you've been getting my emails, you've been seeing that. But it's like sometimes I just go, because I'm stuck in, I feel like I need to be informed. But when I'm informed, I have to fight for joy. I have to fight for it. Man, I was just like, God, we're a mess. But it's yours. You're in control, and I have to fight for that joy in a broken world. The good news is this isn't the end. We have a future beyond this world. We're passing through. This past 2 weeks, I've done 3 funerals for dear, precious men in our church. And this last week, I did a funeral for Dale Farmer, and what the Lord really spoke to my heart for that day was that death has no permanent power over us if we're in Christ. Death doesn't have the last word. Did you know that? In Christ, we believe death doesn't have the last word. That there is something else, that we have a future. Jeremiah 29:11, we have a banner over here, and I'm going to say it in a different version than that's up there. But God declares that He has in mind for us hope and a future, not to harm us. He wants good things for us. God has provided us a future through His Son Jesus Christ, so that death doesn't have the last word. Now, you know, tomorrow is 15-year anniversary of my brother's accident, that the gas pipeline blast that took his life. And then Tuesday is the actual day that we lost Jay. And and then in a week later is a 3-year anniversary of my dad's passing. And then we all know what September 11th is. These next couple of weeks, for all of us, certainly for me and our family, is a tough couple of weeks to just get through. You know, I don't know how people do it if they don't have the hope of Christ. I don't know how anybody gets through this life. I really don't. 2 months before Jay was killed, I had that conversation with him. If you've been here, you've heard this probably before. But he called me, and he had someone in his life that was struggling with forgiving themselves. And I get this. This is what we as the church can do to people. This person was struggling because they had been divorced, basically thinking that God didn't love them and that they were going to hell because they'd been divorced. And Jay was raised the same way I was. He knew better. And he was trying to convince and speak to this person and tell them, no, you know, speak to them about grace. And they weren't getting it. And Jay, I was not a pastor at the time, which is, makes this story even more odd. But Jay called me and he said, Jeff, would you talk to this person about this? And he told me the story and everything. And which he was big brother asking me to do something was pretty big stuff for me. Cause he just didn't ask me to, you know, do important things like that. You know, anybody a big brother in the house? Shame on you. Ask yours. No. But he said, would you try to explain to them about grace? And I said, sure, Jay, I'll do that. And before he handed them the phone, he said, Jeff, I want you to know that I know what Jesus did for me. I know what Jesus did for me. I'm just having trouble convincing and sharing it with this person. And I remember, I was like, Jay, I know you do. I know you do. And I thought it was really odd. 2 months later, I am with Jay after his accident and his last moments on this earth. And God flashed me back to that conversation. I know what Jesus did for me. Death doesn't have the last word for those who are in Christ. Are you hearing me, church? Death doesn't have the last word. We have a future. Christ has overcome the grave. And if we are in Christ, we overcome the grave. You don't have to be afraid of dying. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus has the last word. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. In Christ we are made alive. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. God, we thank you that you have provided those things for us. We may be a broken people, but we're also a redeemed people, washed as white as snow. Through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There's got to be more than going back and forth. From doing right to doing wrong. Cause we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody. Thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, like this and wrap him up in righteousness, but that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made.
Death does not have the last word. Because of the sacrificial body and blood of Jesus, we are made flawless. In just a moment, we will have the opportunity to take Holy Communion. I say this most weeks, that this table is open to anyone who has called on the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and you repent of your sins. You're welcome at this table. You're also welcome to not partake this morning. If you do not wish to partake, that's your choice as well. You do not have to be a member of our church or our denomination. This is the Lord's table, and He has prepared it for us. And when we come to this table, Jesus, as He was having what was known as the Last Supper with His disciples, as He established this meal, He basically just said one thing: remember me. When you come to this table, remember. Remember, this is a sacrificial table. This is a costly table. We come in repentance. We don't come as a perfect people. We come as a redeemed people. So if you would bow your heads with me, just in your own heart, confess your sins before our holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If our praise team and our sound team and our servers will come forward, please. Christ our Lord invites us to his table. We have two stations here, and two stations here you'll be given a piece of bread. You can dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The center section has the individual cups and the individual pieces of bread. If you would like to come and be served in that manner, come to this center station. The altar rail is open. Come.
He became sin, who knew no sin, and we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross, love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah,
the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, rescued for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Messiah, Lord of all I hope is in you, all I hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord. Far above all gods. For thou, O
believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen? Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. Don't forget the remembrance service at 3 p.m. at the Civic Center today. God bless you.